I've been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my time has come. Been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my race has been run. When I think of all that lies before me, well, I know what I will do for sure. Well, I pray, yes, I pray, the Lord will come and take my troubles away.
Coming Alive by Jim Eldridge, with Carl Howman as Terry King and Phyllis Logan as Sandra Gaines. Part 5. Big Trouble.
Hello? Hello? Listen, Andrew, this has to stop. I know you're there. I warned you before, this is it. I'm reporting you to the police. Hello? Hello? Right. Hello, police.
So Mrs. Meadows wants to hire this place for a birthday party?
Yeah, her husband's 65th. It's a joint retirement, though. It's going to be a surprise.
Birthday party, eh? That's not a bad idea. Don't forget, we haven't got a licence.
No, that's no problem. Mrs. Meadows' brother-in-law's got a pub. He can do the bar for us.
65th birthday party? Well, at least things won't get out of hand.
Nah, probably all want to be in bed by 10:30.
Don't you count on it. I've seen some of these old folks. Pour a few pints of stout down them, they can keep going till 5 a.m.
Nah, there won't be nothing like that. I promise, no trouble.
All right. Right, we're on.
Oh, great. I'll tell her. But listen, we've got to keep it stum from our old man. Remember, it's a surprise, right?
Surprises, eh? But here's another one for you, Tell.
Marlene?
Wondered if you'd recognise me. It's been a few years.
Yeah, well, you're a bit off your patch, ain't you?
I like travel. It broadens the mind.
And you travel in numbers, I see. What is this, the firm's outing?
You could say that.
Well, I can see you've got things to talk about, like, so I'll just, unless you want me to hang about, Terry.
No, it's all right, Steve. Go on, you go, I'll see you later.
Right.
And in case you were thinking of coming back with some of your mates...
No, why would I do that?
Good. So long as we're on the same wavelength. Steve?
You sure you're going to be all right, Terry?
Yeah. Don't worry.
All right. I'll see you later. And he'd better be all right. All right.
Well, the faithful young watchdog.
Don't underestimate Steve. Appearances can be deceptive. He may not look much, but he's got a black belt.
What in? Feng Shui? Don't try and con me, Tell. I knew you way back.
I don't con anymore.
Course you do.
How's your dad keeping?
Very well. He's asked me to look after the firm while he's in the nick.
Good choice.
I thought so.
Anyway, I guess this isn't a social call. Not with your three mates. All right, fellas? All right? Not very talkative, are they?
They don't much like conversation.
In that case, you're going to come to the point and save us all a lot of time?
Sure. We're looking for new premises.
What happened to the old lot?
They're a bit exposed, you know. What we need is something a bit... ooh, unknown.
Sorry, Marlene. This place isn't up for grabs.
Funny. Dad thought you'd save it. The word in the nick is you've gone soft.
The word... is straight. I've gone straight.
Yeah, well, all the better as far as I'm concerned. Less likely to be suspicious.
No, I'm sorry, you don't understand. Straight means I don't get involved in anything.
Oh, but you haven't heard my proposition.
I don't need to.
Tell, I'm not used to being told to shut up.
I didn't.
Oh, now, I could tell Pincers here to break your fingers for that. But instead, I'm going to overlook it this once, okay?
Yeah, okay.
The firm's moved into a new area.
Oh?
Cigarettes and tobacco. And all bought perfectly legal, which should make you very happy.
Well, let me guess. But not bought in Britain.
Very sharp. Which means we have a small, incy little problem with customs and excise.
And you want to stash it here?
Only as a temporary measure. In transit, you might say. A French lorry drops it off here. It's picked up later.
Is that a question? There's things going on here all the time. I tell you, there's clubs, events.
Even better, lots of action. Cover. Oh, look. This isn't like drugs or stolen goods. No one cares. Everyone benefits except the taxman. And who likes the taxman?
And if we're caught, straight back in the jug.
Oh, what for? Fags? Oh, you just get a slap on the wrist. Community service.
I'm already doing community service.
Oh, I don't know why I'm even bothering to talk to you like this. I guess it's because Dad had a soft spot for you after you got him out of that bit of trouble.
Oh, I'm glad he remembers, but the answer's no.
Terry, I'm obviously not making myself clear. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
No. Marlene, you can have any other place. Why here?
Because it's perfect. It's off our patch, but near enough to be handy. It's the right size, and it's above suspicion.
You're not doing it, Marlene.
Till, unlike my dad, I don't have a soft spot for you. Like I said, this is not open for discussion. Now, we can do it nice. Or we can do it nasty. Hey, boys? I've got a consignment coming over next week and I need a place urgent. I'll give you a couple of days to think about it. Then we'll come back and see which way you're going to do it. Easy? Or we can do it hard.
Your dad must be very proud of you.
He is. I've improved his business no end since I took over. All right, fellas? We'll leave Mr. King to think about it. Couple of days till. Let's say we'll call Thursday morning. Be nice to do it easy.
And you had how many of these phone calls, Sandra?
Oh, I don't know, Annie. About 10 or 12, I suppose, over the last couple of weeks. There have been 3 today.
Oh, and didn't you tell someone?
I knew who it was. This man, Andrew Edwards, he was a client. I thought I could deal with it without bringing in the police.
What was his problem?
He'd been released from a mental hospital.
Care in the community?
That's right. Well, that was about 2 months ago. Because he was housed in this area, his case was given to me. He was always a bit odd.
In what way?
It's hard to say. He was silent most of the time when I saw him, but he didn't seem to be in any trouble. He was taking his medication, but there was something about the way he looked at me. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, Sandra.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago, I was round at his flat, and he started declaring his love for me.
Did he try anything?
Oh, no, it was just words. I told him firmly that I just was not interested.
How did he take it?
He seemed to take it all right, but when I got home that evening, he phoned me.
You hadn't given him your phone number?
No. I expect he looked me up in the book.
He had your address?
I suppose he must have followed me home once or something. Well, anyway, he phoned and he was very apologetic. He swore he hadn't meant to say anything to me and promised he wouldn't do it again, etc., etc. A couple of days later, he phoned again, wanting to know if I'd forgiven him. I said of course I had, but asked him not to call me at home again.
Did you report it to anyone?
Oh, to the head of my department, you know, Mr. Preston.
Oh, him.
So, I left it, and then a few days later, I had another phone call from him. This one more insistent.
How?
Well, he told me he was the ideal man for me, and if I gave him a chance, he'd prove it. Well, I was a lot firmer with him that time. I told him if he carried on like this, I'd hand his case over to another social worker. Well, that did it. He started crying over the phone, saying he'd kill himself. Well, I managed to calm him down, but that night, about midnight, the phone went again.
Oh, Sandra.
Well, this time he didn't say anything. So after a while, I just hung up. A bit later, the same thing happened again. So after that, I switched my answering machine on and he gave up. But I decided I had to get it sorted out. So the next day, I went round to his flat.
And?
He'd gone. Packed up and left.
Where?
I don't know.
How long has he been gone then?
It's about a week now.
Sandra, have you told the police?
Oh, yes. I had to. He's been getting more persistent. The phone goes at all hours.
How can you be sure it's him?
because sometimes he speaks to me.
What does he say?
At first, it was just the usual profession of love. But lately, it's got a bit more descriptive.
Pornographic?
Yeah. Then other times, he just rings and says nothing. Then yesterday, I came home and found this doll on my doorstep, all wrapped up in gift paper.
Sandra, that's sick.
Oh, it's gross.
It looks like he's still around here.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
What will you do?
I've given a description to the police, and I got a photo from the hospital.
Well, let's hope they find him soon. Listen, I think you and Gail should stay here for a bit.
Oh, thanks, Annie. That would be great.
So why don't you do it?
What? Let this place be used as a drop-off point for smuggled baccy and booze?
Well, yeah. If the alternative's getting your head kicked in.
That is not the alternative.
Well, what is then?
I don't know. I haven't got past telling Marlene and her apes no yet.
Look, like she says, it ain't like it's drugs or anything. Who gets hurt?
Lots of people. Marlene isn't doing this for the good of the common people. She's doing it to make money, illegally. Which means anyone who gets caught up in it goes away.
If they're caught.
Of course they'll be caught. This is customs and excise we're talking about. Tax people. The people who put Al Capone away.
Yeah, but look...
Look, Steve, there are no buts. Marlene wouldn't be looking for another place if she felt her usual drop-off point was secure. In other words, the heat's on. And I'm not letting this place run foul of the law. Not after all the hard work we put into it.
What, so instead you're going to get your head kicked in?
No, I'm not. I'm going to talk to her. Reason with her.
Yeah, and then get your head kicked in. You could always grass her up.
Do what?
Well, go along with it, but tip off the old bill. That way you'll be in the clear both ways.
I've never grassed anyone up in my entire life. Don't intend to start now.
Why? These are crooks we're talking about and you're going straight.
Oh, I don't know. Don't seem right. I knew Marlene's dad.
Well, now you know his daughter and she's threatening to do you over.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we've got company. So you're organising the cake then?
Eh?
The cake.
Oh, yeah. I'll do the cake, yeah.
Hello. Why have you two got your heads together in such a conspiratorial manner?
If you must know, we're sorting out a surprise birthday party.
Oh? Who's?
Mrs. Meadows is hiring the centre for a surprise party for her husband's 65th birthday. Sort of combined retirement do.
Anyway, I better be going. Things to get. Candles for the birthday cake and that, eh?
Okay, I'll see ya.
A birthday party? What a nice thought.
Yeah, if it works. Could be a nice little earner for the centre. And safe, huh? So what brings you here?
Oh, Terry, I've got a problem.
Oh?
Do you remember that client of mine I told you about?
Huh?
Andrew Edwards, the one who started phoning me up.
Oh, yeah. Has he started again?
Well, to be honest, he never stopped.
What? Well, why didn't you tell me?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't want to worry you. And anyway, it was only phone calls. Until yesterday.
What, you mean he came to the house?
Yeah. He left a doll on my front doorstep.
What sort of doll? Well, nothing sort of...
Oh, no, just an ordinary doll. Cheap and tacky. And yesterday, he phoned again 3 times. The first time to say he was keeping his eye on me, and I'd never get away from him. The other two was just nothing. Silence.
How long's this been going on?
This last week.
You told me he'd only phoned a couple of times and then he'd done a runner.
Like I say, I didn't want to worry you.
Sandra.
Anyway, I've told the police.
What did they say?
I spoke to a woman police officer. Very nice, intelligent, asked all the right questions.
Good.
But it was the questions she didn't ask that worried me.
Oh?
Because she had a name to go on, that was fine. But I could tell she wanted to ask me about, you know, the other men in my life.
Me, you mean?
Well, who else is there?
Well, she might have meant Don, your ex.
I could tell she was thinking, a single woman, what's her love life like? It occurred to me that she might start asking you questions.
And if she does?
I want you to deny it. You know how awkward this situation is for me. If it got out that there was any hint of anything going on between us...
All right, calm down. Of course I'll deny it. But why should she question me?
Because if she starts nosing around, someone sooner or later is going to mention that you and I are seen together quite a lot.
We're working together.
Oh, come on, Terry. I mean,
I want us to be known publicly. I do want people to think of us as a couple.
So do I, so do I. But while I'm still officially doing my sentence...
Exactly.
Like I say, no problem. But you still should have done something about this before.
I know. I just hope they find him before he does something stupid.
Right, Steve. What's the time?
Nearly 9 o'clock.
Okay, right, let's get this wrapped up. Last check.
Oh, we've checked everything already.
We've checked the practical stuff in the hall. I want to make sure everything is ready for Fred Meadows' big 65th party. If anything goes wrong, not only will we upset the whole Meadows clan, it would also give us a very bad reputation.
Well, Mrs. Meadows has got most of it in hand. For a start, she didn't like the candles I got for the cake, so she's getting some of her own.
Oh, right. The bar.
Oh, they'll be setting up at 7.
The licence.
No problem. All in order.
Have you actually seen the licence saying it's all right to serve alcohol here?
No, but Mrs. Meadows has.
All right. Catering, cakes and sandwiches.
Mrs. Meadows is in charge of that.
Balloons?
Mrs. Meadows.
Bunting and decorations?
Mrs. Meadows.
Music?
Mrs. Meadows.
Right. So what are we actually doing for this event?
Well, we're providing the hall.
This birthday party business is easier than I thought.
Yeah, only because it's Mrs. Meadows. She's a bit of an iron hand. The female of the species is deadlier than the male, know what I mean?
Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you haven't heard any more from what's her name?
Marlene? No.
Well, maybe she'll have found somewhere else. She'll leave you alone.
Not Marlene. If she sets her heart on something, she don't stop until she gets it.
Well, then, like I say, maybe you ought to just give in.
No, I'm not risking going back inside or this place getting closed down. Right, that's it. That's us done for the evening.
Oh, good. I'm going down to Wheat Sheaf. Ollie said he'd see if he can grab the pool table. Do you fancy coming?
No, thanks, Steve. No. I think I'll amble back to the hostel. Have an early night.
All right. If you change your mind, we'll be down there till closing time.
Pallid blue wing. Wait, who's there?
Oi! Keep it down, will you? There's people trying to sleep in this hostel. Hey, you! Leave that bloke alone!
Hello, mate. How you feeling?
Like I've been bashed over the head and kicked everywhere.
Man, it's amazing. That's exactly what happened.
Oh, no, don't try and make me laugh. It hurts enough as it is.
That's right, mate. You just lie there. Can I get you anything?
No, thanks.
I've got some grapes.
Oh, you didn't have to.
Well, I didn't really. This bloke at the other end of the ward died and I was giving away his fruit and stuff. I got the grapes.
No, thanks. My head's still ringing. I think the sound of grape pips being crunched will do it in.
Oh. I think they're seedless. Yeah. Yeah, you're okay.
That's one way of looking at it.
So, you reckon this is one of Marlene's blokes who did it?
Well, who else? Bit premature, though. I mean, she gave me a couple of days. I expect it was just to soften me up. Like I said, she's a harder piece of work than her dad.
Oh, by the way, I phoned Sandra. She says she's coming over.
Oh, you shouldn't have bothered her. Not at this hour.
Well, she'd have killed me if I didn't. If the old bill been round.
Yeah.
You ought to tell them, you know, about Marlene.
Like I said, I've never grassed anybody up and I ain't about to start now.
You may not have another chance. Next time they might kill you.
No, no, that's not Marlene's way. I'm not a lot of use to her dead.
Oh, Terry.
Oh, hello, Sandra. Excuse me for not getting up.
Everything's always a joke with you. How are you feeling? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm trying to look on the bright side.
I'd better be off before the nurses chuck me out. Two's company, three's a potential riot, according to hospital rules.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, no problem. Sure you don't want these grapes?
No, that's all right. You have them.
All right, sir.
Oh, and I still think you ought to, you know, think about it.
Yeah.
What does he mean by that?
Oh, you know, Steve talks in riddles. I don't think he knows what he's talking about himself half the time.
Don't give me that. What's going on?
Nothing's going on. Except I just got hit over the head and bashed about a bit, that's all. And I'm feeling very fragile.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you see who did it?
Not a chance. There was this almighty thud and I went down. Next thing I knew, I was getting a good thumping. Luckily for me, someone in the hostel called out and the bloke did a runner.
So you've no idea who it was?
No, no idea.
I was thinking it might be Andrew Edwards.
Who? Oh, your stalker. Mm. Well, why would he do this to me?
Jealousy?
Oh, come on. He doesn't know about us.
If he's been following me, he may have seen us together. He may have jumped to conclusions.
Well, unlikely. We've always been very careful.
Who else could it be? You haven't upset anyone lately, have you?
Me? No. No, I'm sure it's just a mugging that got out of hand. No, that bloke's got nothing to do with it. Trust me.
Sandra!
Oh!
Ow!
Oh, Steve!
What was that for?
Oh, sorry. I've been a bit on edge lately. Are you okay?
Oh, you and I've got punch.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, what do you mean by sneaking up behind me like that?
I wanted to see you without anyone finding out. It's about Terry.
What?
I've asked him to tell you this, but he won't. He says he's never grasped anyone up in his life.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
The blokes who did it to him.
I thought there was only one.
I saw him. There were at least three.
You saw Terry being attacked?
No. I saw him before, when they come round to the centre and threatened him.
Threatened him? What? Steve, tell me.
Promise you won't tell him I told you.
Just tell me.
All right. I'll have to tell him you threatened me to get me to talk. After all, you did hit me.
I'll hit you again if you don't hurry up and tell me.
All right. See, there's this gang of heavies, right? They want Terry to let them use the centre for stashing dodgy tobacco and fags.
Go on.
Well, they give him a couple of days to think it over. Told him if he didn't, they'd sort him out. He reckons this was part of the softening up process.
Why didn't he tell me this himself?
Well, you know what Terry's like. He didn't want you getting into trouble. And he's determined they're not going to use the centre. You've got to admire him. It's the way he stands up to them. He's like Gary Cooper.
I'll give him Gary Cooper. Who are these people?
I don't know. The woman in charge is called Marlene. I don't know her second name, but they're really heavy.
And you're sure these are the people who beat up Terry?
Well, who else could it be? Look, don't tell the old Bill.
Why not?
Because everyone will think Terry grassed them up, and he's sensitive about that.
Well, what else am I supposed to do?
I don't know. I wondered if there was something you could do as social services without bringing the police in.
Such as? Offer them counselling?
Well, I don't know. The thing is, if word spreads that Terry grassed them up, he'll be in even worse trouble. You know what these people are like.
Oh, all right, I'll see what I can do. Well, have you got any more information on them? Who are they? Where they come from?
Nah. Well, Marlene's old man's the boss of the outfit, but he's inside. They don't come from around here.
That's a lot of help.
They're supposed to be calling on Terry again to get his answer. After the softening up, I suppose.
When?
I think he said Thursday morning.
That's today? This morning? Now?
I know. Well, that's what I'm telling you. I don't think he can take another smacking. Sandra! Hang on! I'm going to get the blame for this.
Wipe your feet, boys. Looks like Tell's doing a bit of housework. Right, Terry. Well. And what happened to you?
Is that meant to be sarcastic?
Someone gave you a real seeing to, didn't they?
Yeah, I wonder who.
Nothing to do with me, Terry.
No, of course not. You wouldn't saw your hands with it, would you? But how about pincers there, or one of the other two? Hiya. All right. Still not talking, chaps?
Cut the rabbit, Tell. Like I said, nothing to do with me. But I think you'll agree it means you're not in a fit state to say no very loudly.
Well, that's where you're wrong. I'm still saying no. And your almost human apes there can do whatever you want them to.
Right. Stop what you're doing.
Sandra?
Hey, what's going on?
I want you all out of this place now.
Who is she?
Sandra.
I'm the social worker responsible for this centre. It's council property and you're trespassing.
She's got to be joking.
No, she's dead serious, believe me.
Right, out, now. And maybe I'll forget what's been going on here.
So you've been talking, Terry. No, he hasn't.
I haven't.
Well, whoever has been, it seems she knows what's going on.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, I do.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, I do.
It's like a bleeding pantomime. Pincers, sort her out.
No, you leave her alone. This is nothing to do with her. Sandra, just turn round and walk out.
I'm calling the shots here, Terry. Not you.
Right. Everyone stand still.
Andrew?
He's got a gun.
Oh, come on. What is this? Social workers, back up.
If I can't have you, Sandra, no one will.
Pincers, take it off him.
No. Don't you come near me. I'm warning you. All of you.
All right. All right. Pincers, leave it. Leave it.
No, Andrew, don't do this. Give me the gun.
Sandra, please.
Give me the gun. It's all right, Andrew. It's all right.
I still can't believe you came in like that. The flying social worker.
Oh, I didn't know what else to do.
Let me guess. Steve told you.
Well, he was worried about you. Oh. And he'd begged me not to tell the police.
Well, as it turns out, we didn't need to. We had half the Met following Marlene and her crew about to find out where they were setting up, and the local force following you in case Edwards tried anything. Must have been like a police convention out there.
Oh, luckily for both of us.
Yeah, well.
You should have told me.
Like you told me about your stalker?
Yes, well, all right.
Oh, please, Sandra. Don't let yourself get in a spot of bother like that again without letting me know.
You're going to be my guardian angel.
Too right. Now I've found you, I couldn't bear to lose you.
Well, I've been thinking about my situation. Baby, sometimes I think my time has come.
In part 5 of Coming Alive, Terry King was played by Carl Howman, Sandra Gaines, Phyllis Logan, Steve Addison, Ben Crow, Marlene, Hetty Baines, Annie, Alison Pettit, Andrew Edwards, Tom George. Coming Alive is written by Jim Eldridge and directed by Marilyn Imrie.